But let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the reign that we have. Thank you for being on your throne and being in control. Times seem to be uncertain, but they're really not. Things happen, things change in the nation and in the world, but we know that you're always on your throne. We trust in you. You've never lied to us. You've never failed us. We honor you on how we respect your word and how we continue our act of worship, not only in your house, your church, but every day when we're outside in the world. This is the first day of the week, the beginning of worship for our entire week. Father, thank you for the people that are here listening today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You've been approved. You get your little envelope in the mail. It says you've been pre-approved for a credit card at 25% interest. I don't know about that. But when you're first starting out and you're trying to build credit, sometimes even just having a little credit is good. So you can build on top of that. Or you go to the car dealership and you fill out all the paperwork. You pick out the car you want. You think, wow, this is the car. This is the brand new truck, or this is the used truck that I want, but it's perfect. This will do everything for me. They'll come back and say you've been approved. The car you want is truck you want is about $20,000, but they say you only been approved for $13,000. And they try to sell you a vehicle that has been on the lot for the last 10 years that they can't get rid of. And they try to really drum it up saying, this car is for you. You've been approved. I want to be approved for something more than that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. This is the main verse that we're focusing on today. I'm sorry, verse 4. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. So I've told you before, when I come up here, and even before I get up here, I'm nervous. I'm anxious. I equated it to a boxer going into a ring, kind of getting antsy and moving around, kind of getting sweaty. Yes, sweaty. Because this is very important. This is God's word. This is part of worship. And we've been entrusted with God's word to present it to you. So it's not flippantly that we do this. It's not coming up here on a whim and not preparing. It takes preparation. It takes prayer. It takes thought. And it really starts consuming you at times, because almost your ever waking moment, things come to you. You're thinking about it. You're going over it in your head constantly. And it's coming to you and say, where can I do this? Where can I do this? And like I asked David Morgan, when you finish preaching, do you ever second guess yourself? And he said he does. Because I go home and I still think, I could have said this. Oh, it should have been this way. I should have went here. I should have went to this verse. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God, entrusted. I have, and you should know this, I think you should, it's like a test. I have two daughters. I am not just going to hand them off to some smelly boy who shows up at the door, or maybe even honks the horn and let them run outside for a date. No, 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 no. I really haven't screened them. I haven't followed them. I haven't traced them. Haven't run their license plates or their driver's license that they know of. But you talk to them, you can sense on what type of men that they are. They're still growing. They're still learning. But they're men. I could say they're men. Do I think they need to grow up more? Yes. Was I that smart when I was their age? I was dumber. Guaranteed, I was dumber. Ask my mom. She'll tell you. Yeah, he was pretty stupid. Go to Galatians 1. Galatians 1:10. Am I trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. And we talked about this last week, that people will gather prophets or people around them to hear what their itching ears want to hear. When you go ask somebody their opinion, you really sometimes are not asking their opinion. You're asking them to validate what you already want to do. Should I do this? Well, have you already made up your mind to do this? You're just wanting confirmation. You're wanting somebody else to go along with you. To kind of validate what you already want to do. But we are entrusted, again, we are entrusted with this gospel. Am I still trying to win the approval of men? I'm not. The gospel hurts. The gospel is a double-edged sword going back and forth. And at times it is comforting. At times it is warm and inviting. But other times it's painful. It hurts. Not the message of salvation, but everything else that goes along with it. And some of it, you can be doing everything what Christ wants you to do. Everything. You can be pleasing God every single step of the way. And it's still going to hurt. Because you know what salvation is. You've heard it. You've heard it many, many times. You hear it here in this church. And we're not going to water it down for anybody. But what hurts is your friends and your family and the people that you know and love, I mean extremely love, not adhering to the gospel. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Not a way, the way, the only way. And they're off, and people are off running around following other things. That's where it hurts. Because you know, and you want the best for them, and you want them to just grasp that. You're not forcing it upon them, but you, with tears, you're praying for them. And you want them to know. And that's where it hurts. That's where it really, really hurts. Go to John. John 12. John 12:43. Yet at the same time, this is verse 42 and 43. Yet at the same time, many among the leaders believed in him. But because the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved praise from men more than praise from God. That is that fast food drive-through mentality. You don't hear that praise from God. And for the most part, you're not going to feel that praise from God. We know what we must do. You have to do your chores. You know what you must do. You know what we have to do. But that praise from men, the men who sit there and say, wow, you're doing so well. Wow, you're doing so great. Standing up here, preaching in front of you, you see a small fraction of what actually goes on during the week. Not just for me, from the other elders. David left, retired. We have David Rohrbaugh coming. But between that gap, between him coming here, the elders really have stepped up their game, doing a lot more work than what you actually see. Again, you see a small portion up here on Sunday. And if you show up Wednesday, it's a small portion on Wednesday. But for the rest of the week, you don't see all the work that's being done. We are trying to please God. We are handling God's word as precious cargo, guarding it, presenting it, showing you, not hiding anything, not, well, we are wearing a mask, but not wearing a mask of deceit to try to trick you. We are not peddling this. We are not selling this. We are not building ourselves up. Go to Psalms 118. And again, not marking my stuff here so that takes me just as long to find it as you guys. Psalm 118. This is 6 through 9. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. One of the things I tell people at work, people that I supervise, they come to me with their issues and their problems. They're thinking people are against them. And I tell them, no one is against you. They're for themselves. People either advise you, princes, they want to be with. Put it this way. Who's with you now? Who's with you in the hard times? Who is there standing by you when you're hurt and alone and afraid? Who do you call on? You play the lottery, you win the lottery tomorrow, you win $100 million. Now everybody wants to be your friend. Everybody comes out of the woodwork. Next thing you know, you're short, fat, and bald, and you find a supermodel as a girlfriend. This is the love of your life. Where was she before during the hard times? Those are the people who are for themselves. Again, they're not against you. They're just for themselves. Go to 2 Timothy. You're in Thessalonians still. You just kind of turn over a couple pages. Get a couple verses here in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 16. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Then turn back a page. In 2 Timothy 1, 13 through 14. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Guard it. It's precious. We need to protect it. God's word does not need to change. Doesn't need to change. People will tell you that God's word does not speak to me today. Because you're not listening. It doesn't need to change. Now, it's not going to tell you the little things about what house should I buy? What car should I buy? Who should I marry? Yeah, the marry part, yes. The car? No. We're supposed to be good stewards with what's entrusted to us. Be smart. Look at your finances. Don't overextend yourself. Be wise with what you have. Don't be indebted to anybody. The only debt that you should be indebted to people is for love. Don't be indebted. Don't go past your means. That speaks to you today. Same thing with a house. Are you trying to keep up with other people? Are you trying to show off? As a possible single person, do you need a 5-bedroom mansion? Not necessarily. Don't overextend yourself. Who should you marry? Do not be yoked with unbelievers. What do unbelievers and believers have in common? DNA. But you can't marry or date anybody into salvation. You can't marry or date anybody into heaven. Most likely they'll pull you away from God. That speaks to today. Do not be drunk with wine. That speaks to today. Do not anything else control you except the Holy Spirit. That speaks to today. We are guarding this. We are guarding God's word. Nothing needs to be added to this word. Nothing needs to be taken away. It speaks to us today. As I prayed earlier, this is the beginning day for the week of your worship. Worship is a continual thing through the entire week. Capture, make every thought captive to God. You're praying. Pray continually. You're encouraging people through the word continually. 1 Corinthians. Go write the 1 Corinthians again. Go back. There it is. 1 Corinthians 4. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little that if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Secret things of God. They say mystery. Translated differently, mystery. And it doesn't mean it's mysterious. That doesn't mean it's hidden from anybody. But at one time, it was. People who are perishing, people of the world, they cannot comprehend this book. They cannot comprehend on what we feel. They cannot comprehend as being a Christian. They don't understand that never seen God, never seen Jesus. They make fun of us and say that we're praying to someone invisible, my imaginary friend. It does not make sense to them because God has hidden it from their hearts. Jesus said this, and even in the book of Isaiah said this, that if they would hear with their ears, see with their eyes, they would turn and he would heal them. That's paraphrased. That's what happened to us. We heard it with our ears, seen with our eyes. We've turned and he's healed us. We understand this part that was hidden from the world. Does that make us special? Yes. Does that make us privileged? You could say that. But this is a privilege that's open to everybody, not just a select few. Again, hell was not made for people. Hell was made for Satan and his followers. God wants everyone to be saved. But people don't understand that. They're angry with God because there's disease. There's COVID-19 in the world. There's cancer. There's heart disease. There's people just dying. And they don't understand that. They want to blame God. But if God was to come down and cure all that cancer and make them obedient, they would be mad that he's forcing them to be obedient. You can't force someone to love you. That's why God gave us free choice. It's much better when it's freely given. That's when we tithe, we do an offering. God says, I love a cheerful giver. That's what we want. God wants you to enjoy doing, not like, I have to do this. Are there certain things we have to do? Sure. But it should be with joy. Deuteronomy, way back. Deuteronomy 8. Hear the pages turning. That's wonderful. Wonderful sound. Deuteronomy 8:2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Things happen at my work And I had somebody tell me, they said, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to get anybody else in trouble. And I told them, I said, well, maybe it's a test and we're testing you to make sure that you're speaking up about seeing something that's not right. You're not getting anybody in trouble. You're just fixing what is wrong. Working in the medical field, working in the dental field, you have to make sure that you're cleaning everything properly, step by step by step. Because you don't want someone else to get sick. You don't even want yourself to get sick. Glove this, unglove this, unmask that, wipe this down, wait 3 minutes, go wipe it again. If you have to close off the room, you close off the room and you go to another room and you work. You make sure all the water's flush so they have fresh water and no contaminants, no microbes in there. Somebody told me that you clean the room as if your mom and kids were coming in next. You want to make it spotless. You want to make it clean. God is testing us at times to see that our heart is true, that we're following Him. Psalms 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Proverbs 17:3, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts. James 1:3, know that testing of your faith produces endurance. This is a marathon. This isn't a sprint. This goes on. This is part of your life. This is part of your DNA. When God placed His Holy Spirit in you, it's changing your DNA to be part of the family of God. That's what we are. We are sons and daughters of God. Changing our DNA. Why would you want to go back? Why would you want to follow the outside world? Why would you want to see anything else other than God's glory? And again, that's where the pain comes from. That's where the gospel hurts. You may be doing all those things, but the people you're ministering to, the people you're praying for, your kids. I think I had my mom pray for me the hardest. Because you can see the troubled times that I was going through. I know my younger brother prayed for me quite a bit. But if you look at our lives now, he went one way and I went the other. I had another brother who knew the Bible inside and out. But if you were to look at his life today, it's not evident. That's where it hurts. That's where it hurts. Now, you're thinking it's cool being up here, neat, studying, and it's easy, and it's wonderful, and it is scary. Because after I started teaching, I started reading a lot more, and I came across this verse, and this verse always scares me. Because we are handling, I'm going to go right back to 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 2, verse 4. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. James 3, verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Can I quit? Like now? Can I quit? Police officers get in trouble. We've actually seen it lately. Police officers are getting in trouble. Video cameras, phone cameras, everything else out there. Hopefully people will know the whole story, but yes. Usually police officers go before the judge and they say the judge throws the book at them. Why? Because they know better. Because they're upholding the law. They know the law, but they decided to break the law. That's why they should be judged more strictly. we who are presenting the law or God's word to you, if we're presenting it to you and we break it and we're following it and even encouraging, or you see by maybe our lifestyles, to drag people away, to give false testimony, what do you think is going to happen to the teachers who stand before the throne of judgment? Scary. You knew better. Why did you? Okay, I'm sorry. You knew better. Yes, you'll make it to heaven. I could take a spanking, you could say a whipping, a beating. By today's standards, it was a beating. I deserved it. Your brothers, well, me and my brother, we'd go to the other room and kind of pull down your pants and see, kind of show each other the welt marks where the belt hit us. We knew we deserved it. She had to get, our brains were thick. It was full of concrete. And your punishment was over. You go out and play. The worst ones when we got grounded. Hated it. My brother absolutely hated it. I didn't care. I didn't go anywhere anyway. I just read a book. I told my mom, oh, you can ground us. Well, you don't go anywhere. You don't have any friends. So you could take away our TV. And you go, that's my TV. I just go in there and read a book. What was she going to do? Stop me from reading? No. Entrusted with this word. Meticulous, handling it properly, caring for it, safeguarding it. And I don't know if anybody in here has OCD. I think my dad did for a little bit, for certain parts, especially his garage. He had plenty of tools. Everything was lined up. Everything in the drawers was perfect. The sizes, everything. He knew exactly where it was. He had giant toolboxes, knew exactly where everything was at. And he'd let you borrow his tools as long as it stayed in his garage. But you could not put it away. Because you'd put it on the desk out there, the workbench, and there was a towel there. You'd put it there. All the tools that you possibly, even if you took it out and didn't use it, you'd still put it there. You couldn't put it back. You just couldn't open the drawer, take it out, and then just put it right back. You had to put it on the workbench. Then he would go out there later in the evening, WD-40, spray all the tools down, wipe it down, make sure it was cleaned up, no rust, put it right back in the same spot that it was. Same thing, like you'd have the pegboard and you'd have the tools laid up there, and you'd have the outline, like a chalk outline of the dead tool, and put it right in that one spot. He knew it was missing. You walk out there and he's like, that's missing. What is that? Oh, that's my 560. Like, how do you know? That was my dad. That's how we should be with the word. You're in the word. You know when someone's preaching. You know when something is missing. That's why you need to be in the word. You know when something's missing. You know when somebody's telling you a falsehood. Again, we talked about it last week. People want to change and maybe manipulate some of the words in God's word to draw more people after them, because it's all about more people in the pews. It's about more money in the offering. Not for God's kingdom, but for their pockets. Some preachers get paid for attendance. The more people that show up, the more offerings that they get, their pay scale goes up. Bonuses, possibly. We're handling God's word with fear, because you know that those who teach will be judged more strictly. We know better. We have warnings after warnings of handling God's word appropriately. Jesus has the parables about entrusting his servants with talents of gold, To one he gives five, to another he gives three, to another he gives one, according to their ability. The one who has five makes five more. The one who has three makes three more. The one who has one is afraid and hides it. We are entrusted with something more valuable than gold. And we are not seeking man's approval, we're seeking God's approval. He's entrusted us with it. Trusted us with it. We need to handle it carefully. Because when God approves you of doing right, you're doing right. Whether everybody's standing behind you, patting you on the back and saying, great job, or they're gnashing their teeth at you like they did with Stephen, and take him outside and stone him. But I know where my eternity is at. Whether it's here in front of you or in the classroom or speaking with anybody, I am entrusted with this. I would rather please God than men. That doesn't mean I hate you. That doesn't mean I'm mad at you. As a dental hygienist, you say, what can I do to take care of my teeth? I want you to like me, so I'm going to be nice to you and tell you, go ahead and eat cake and Skittles and all the candy you want, and don't worry about brushing or flossing. No. You'll destroy your teeth. I'm going to tell you the truth. Brush and floss your teeth. You can have sweets, but not all the time. Same with God's word. I'm going to tell you the truth. You may not like me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I'd want you to tell me the truth as well. That's what God's family does. That's what friends do. We saying, I'm a friend of God. Friends will tell you the truth. Do you like this shirt? Does this shirt make me look fat? No, you're fat. The shirt just kind of covers everything. How do you like my new hairdo? Well, I think it needs to be shorter. I love you, and I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to handle God's word appropriately with respect. It's eternal life. I cannot lie about that. And it's going to hurt me as well as you because it's the truth. But I love it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the strength that I get from my family, your church, to continue to preach your word, to be faithful, along with the elders, that we're doing the things you ask of us. Not for our glory, but for your glory. Thank you for the strength that you give us. Let us continue to use that. Let us as elders continue to be unified as we lead your church, as we guard it from the outside world and their influence, as we protect it so that wolves don't come in and ravage the flock. We know that we'll be judged more strictly, but you've given us strength and you've given us your word in our hands that we need to be in, that we need to preach, teach, but also live. Let us continue our worship with the next song, but let us also continue our worship of you throughout the week. As we're in the outside world and we're around people, let them see us for who we are as your family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.